Can you hear me now?
Everybody's a funny guy. All right. This is just mostly decoration once again. Are you with me? Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray together as we begin. Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. And Lord, we know really we're not just beginning. We know you've been working in our lives for a long time. We know that this morning we've been spending great time with you through song and prayer. Lord, as we gathered around your table this morning, Father, we know that you ministered and blessed us, that you loved us, you encouraged us with your incredible love, Lord. I want to thank you for Scott and the heart that he has, Lord, to allow you to work in him. Thank you for the men who have stood up here. Thank you for Dennis and the thoughts he shared with us about your precious son on the cross for us. And Lord, just pray now that you would work in a mighty way as we look into your word, as we think about your word, as we think about you, God. And I pray that you would move me aside, and that you would minister to us now. I want to thank you for all who are here, and pray that we all draw closer to you from being here. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Are you still trying, Jacob? Okay. Flag me down when I can put this thing down, okay? Well, I'm glad to be here this morning, and I know you are too. I can hear as you're singing, and I just want to thank you for being here. I want to share a few stories. Thank you very much. I want to share a few stories with you this morning about faith. One of them bothers me. It bothers me a lot. It probably will bother all of us. It should bother us, but it really bothers me. It bugs me about me. It's not a problem that it's in Scripture to me. I think it belongs there. When I read it, it bothers me. So I want to start with, we'll start in the beginning here. I'm going to start with the story of Lazarus. You know the story very well. There's a man named Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are dear friends to Jesus. The Scripture says that he loves them. We know that he loves us, but there's a point made here. They're tight. They are dear friends with Jesus. And Lazarus gets sick, and as many of you know, as he is sick and dying, they send message to Jesus. They send people to Jesus and say, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And the intent of that message is, come quickly and heal him. And they're pressing and people are pushing. Lazarus is sick. We want Jesus here because Jesus can heal him. And Jesus tells the disciples, Lazarus is sick. What's on the agenda for today? And he goes on doing whatever he was doing. But he does not go heal Lazarus. The story goes on as time goes about. Lazarus dies. And he tells the disciples in the story, we're going to go, the Scripture says Bethany's a mere 2 miles away. It's just downtown Minford. But he doesn't go. And now he's ready to go. And they say, last time you were here, last time you went there, they wanted to kill you when you went to Judah. And he says, well, we're going anyway. And he reminds them, or he tells them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and they have this little haggle over, is he asleep or is he dead? Anyway, Jesus presses on, and when he shows up, listen to what happens. If you would flash the story up, or the Scripture up. Jesus shows up in Bethany with Mary and Martha comes running out to him, and she says, Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. But even now, God will give you whatever you ask him. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha answers, I know he will rise again, or raise again at the resurrection, at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Leave that up there for a moment, please. Thanks, Jacob. And so you see the story unfolding. They send a message to Jesus. Your friend Lazarus is sick. You can heal him. Please come. Jesus, as we would call it him hauling if it was one of us. Why won't you get here? You're late again, Jamie. I knew it. You're late again. Jesus intentionally stays back, and he says it's for the glory of the Son. He's trying to make a point of who he is. He's trying to teach the disciples something. He's trying to teach Mary Martha something. He's trying to teach all the followers something. Whatever's going on here, as Jesus waits, Lazarus dies. And when he knows Lazarus is dead, good and dead, then he starts to Bethany. And on the way, they're having a discussion, but Martha, as he gets close, comes out and says, the words we just talked about, and then in this conversation, if you'd have been here, why weren't you here? If you would have showed up, if only you would have come, your presence would have healed him. Your being here could have stopped this. It would have stopped it, Jesus. And Jesus says, and she says, but I know God will give you now whatever you ask. Good faith, right? And he says the words one more time. Let's read these. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. You need to let that sink as we tell this story. You need to let that sink deeply. The reason that the last day, the reason there's going to be a resurrection on the last day is because Jesus Christ will be there. He is the resurrection and the life wherever he is, whatever day it is, whatever's going on. Jesus is the one who is the resurrection. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She says, I believe that you're God's son. I believe you're Jesus Christ who's come into the world. And she runs and she tells her sister, the master's looking for you. And Mary gets up and runs out to Jesus. And those who are with her crying say, she must be going to the tomb. And they run out with her. And she comes to Jesus, says the exact same words. She says the exact same words. Jesus, if you had been here. Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That's awesome. You want to believe that, right? If Jesus would show up, he wouldn't have died. That's faith. Greater faith than we have a lot of times, right? If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He looks around and she's crying. She's upset. The people are crying and they're upset. And he's moved and he's struggling. And he says, where'd you put him? They said in the cave, and scripture says, Jesus wept. What an amazing Jesus. What bothers you? Bothers me. What's upsetting you? Upset. This is moving to me. And he says, move the stone. And they move the stone and Martha says, Jesus, he's going to stink. He's been in there 4 days. You're going to open up the tomb now? And you know what she's thinking? If you'd just been here, if you would have shown up, okay, he's here now, but he's decaying. And she's wrestling with herself. And Jesus says, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? And then he yells, and he prays, very important. Father, I thank you for hearing me. I always know you hear me, but I said this for them. They're wrestling with who I am. And then he says, Lazarus, come out. And I heard someone say, he called him by name so that everybody in the graveyard didn't come out because Jesus speaks life into the tombs. Right, Lazarus. And he comes out and he's got the grave clothes on and he says, take him off and let him go. And what I love about the story, is the faith that they have. And what bothers me about this story is the lack of faith that they have. Yeah, they got great faith. They have faith that we wish we had. I wish I had. But these guys have been Jesus' friend a long time, for goodness sake. Maybe you understand it better by this story. Luke 7, Matthew 8. This is a centurion, a Roman army official. He's not an Israelite. He's not a chosen one of God. He didn't grow up hearing stories about Jesus or knowing about Jehovah. He is simply a Roman security or a Roman citizen who is an officer. And they are, they have Israel in captivity. He has a servant who the scripture says he loves dearly. He loves his servant dearly. And he's sick. And so, as the story's unfolding, he can clearly do nothing for his servant. And these two stories come together. Jesus has just finished speaking, and he's on his way into Capernaum, and the centurion hears about Jesus coming. And so he sends some of the elders of the Jews to go get Jesus and come and heal his servant. And so they run to Jesus, and they tell the story about this wonderful man. The story goes something like this. Jesus, this man is amazing. He's incredible to us. He treats us really well. He's not all like all the other Romans. He treats us well. He built the synagogue for us. He's worthy for you to come into his house. I mean, he's a good man. And so Jesus just goes with them along the way. And as Jesus is going along the way to this man's house, this man sends friends to him now. He sends friends to Jesus and he says, listen, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Man, that breaks me up. I'm not worthy. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of honor for Jesus? I think at one time I did. Something like that. I mean, I was sometime in my life, I think I've been humble enough to feel like that. I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be well. Because I'm a man under authority, and this is where it gets really good. And I have men under me. Whatever I say happens. You see the difference? Do you get the difference? Mary and Martha have been following Jesus forever. And they're saying, if you would please come, he wouldn't have died. And the centurion says, I get authority. Jesus Christ is over everything. And when he speaks it, it's done. All he's got to do is say it. You don't have to show up. He doesn't have to show up. Excuse me. All he's got to do is say it. And I watched Mary and Martha wringing their hands, and I watched the disciples going, I think we're going to go die with them, but whatever it takes, I guess we'll go. And then all the people around crying and begging, going, isn't this the guy who's been doing everything for everyone? They're supposed to be their his friends. Why wouldn't they show up? Why wouldn't he heal them? And Jesus is going, wow. You're the ones who are supposed to believe in me. You're the ones that... And then this centurion, this guy, this man who is not a citizen, not anyone who is a chosen one of God, he's heard these stories and he believes enough to say, Jesus, would you come? And when Jesus is coming, he has enough belief in this God that he will not even dare say, come on in. He said, no, 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 no. I'm not worthy of you. I know who you are. You can stay out there. You can go back to Jerusalem. You can go across the world. All you got to do, wherever you are, whatever's around you, you could hem yourself in a concrete bunker in Afghanistan and say, be healed. And my servant will be healed. I don't like that story. That story bothers me. Because I know me and I know us. And I know sometimes, just simple things like church. When was the last time you came to church and didn't think that God was checking out a check mark on your list saying, you're a better guy today because you came to church? God's not looking for better people. He's looking to make people better. And that means if you would show up, if you would just be a part, if you could believe, he could truly change you. Wherever he is and wherever you are, change. Incredible change can take place. And as I wrestle with this text, it bothers me on so many different levels, but I had to look at myself, and we all had to look at ourselves and wrestle with, what do you truly believe about Jesus Christ? And here's where it is. The presence of Jesus was everything to Mary, Martha, Lazarus, those people. They got to walk around with him, talk with him, do stuff with him. But if he didn't show up, he didn't show up, right? And Lazarus is laying in the grave now. He didn't show up for the centurion and servants well now. And so as I wrestle with myself, I had to think this. Have I not heard the same stories? Scripture says I have a better witness. I got a better story than the centurion has. I got a better story than Mary and Martha. I've got the word, and I've got the spirit in me. I got this challenge to be greater in my faith, stronger in my faith, more faithful in my faith. And so when I look at these guys, I have to think about stories like, listen to this one. Do you remember the story of the widow of Nain? Listen to the stories that should build our faith about Jesus Christ. The cool thing, the cool difference about Mary and Martha is Mary and Martha wanted Lazarus well. The centurion knew Jesus had authority over all things. Right? He could heal Lazarus. He has authority over all things. You have to grab that to finish, to go on with the story. And I hope I've made that clear enough, and maybe I haven't. Mary and Martha wanted Lazarus well. Jesus, or the centurion, was saying, Jesus has authority over all things. I speak it, it's done. You don't even have to come in. And so with that, listen to the stories we've heard. Listen to the stories that should have stirred our faith. Jesus is with his party, with his people, with the multitudes packed around him, and he's going down the road, and when you're with Jesus, it's pretty joyful, right? As we're wrestling with who he is, we have to understand that Jesus will change your life. And here are folks following him, wanting to hear the message. Some of them been healed. Some of them had demons cast out of them. Some of them were blind. Some of them were lame. And they're walking, and they're enjoying the presence of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, as they're walking, they just start mingling with a funeral procession. Just right upon it. The story says they just kind of walking down the road, and they join this funeral. And you know the hush, you know, as your car, you pull, do I pull over or do I not? You know the wrestle when you see a funeral. I got to show proper respect. Jesus shows proper respect. He walks right up to the woman and says, don't cry. I think if I said that at a funeral, someone would punch me. They walk up to the woman who's just lost. The scripture says she's a widow and that she just lost her only son. She's a widow. She just lost her only son, which means she really has no identity in a world dominated by men, a world run by men. She's lost everything. She's lost everything. Scripture says, as Jesus saw her, his heart was moved. He says to her, don't cry. And he walks up and he touches the casket, and this boy comes back to life. And he gives her back to his mom. Do you believe Jesus has power over everything? Do you believe that he is the power over everything? The stories don't stop there. He fed 5,000 people. He sent the disciples away. He's praying on the hillside. The disciples are out at sea, the boat, the wind, the storm, and Jesus sees them, and he starts walking out toward them, fourth hour of the night, between 3, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there in the morning. And the scripture says he's about just to walk on by. They're not called out. They're scared of who he is. They wonder who he is. And then they say, Jesus, if it's you, Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's walking on the water. This is no small thing. Listen to this. Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Listen to this story. If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. This is what the centurion knew. This is what Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, or Mary, Martha wrestled with. Lazarus didn't really wrestle with that so much at the time. Mary and Martha wrestled with this. They're struggling with this because he didn't show up. The centurion knows this. He can walk on water. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm in authority. I get it. He has authority over everything. He's sovereign. And so it says, when Peter got down to the boat, he started walking on the water, and he came toward Jesus. How weird would that be? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And they get back in the boat, and the winds die down. Scott told a story a while ago that Jesus got out, came up out of the boat when there was a storm in the sea, and he said, peace, be still. And everything calmed down. Story here, Jesus gets in the boat. The people in the boat bow, they worship, they say, surely you are the Son of God. They get it. They get this is a big moment. As the widow at Nain, God has come to help his people. Wow, he truly is the Son of God. The call here is for us to understand the point of the stories of Jesus Christ. At the end of John, say, I want you to know these stories. I told you these stories so that you would believe who he is, that you would believe it deep down in your core, that he came to do something for you. And there's a few other stories that we really love, we want to hear, and I don't know where to start when it comes down to thinking and talking about the stories. We talk about Legion, as we've talked about before. Wow, what an amazing story. Dressed and in his right mind. Wow. I think about all the ways he healed the blind man, the way he healed the leper, the way that he is healed and blessed. Peter's mother-in-law, she had a headache. He made her headache go away. But everything hinges on this. You can click it. Everything hinges on this. What do you believe about Jesus? We tell the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We tell the story about the centurion and his great faith. We talk all about the woman, the widow from Nain along the road. We could tell the story about Peter walking on water. We could talk about these stories all day long. They would be easy conversation. It'd be thrilling conversation. But what do you believe? What do you really believe? Is he the God that came to help his people? Or is he a God that's disinterested in you because of the things that you do and what you're about? We have a problem with Jesus. We have a real problem with Jesus because we have a problem with us, but Jesus doesn't have a problem. He is sovereign over everything, and he called you to believe it, and he called me to believe it. He called us to believe it. I was looking through the scripture and wrestling with the scripture, and one thing that stood out to me so boldly, as I'm looking at the disciples struggling in faith, and Thomas is the one who says, let's go with them and die. And then you think later, you hear Thomas saying, when Jesus has came back from the dead, and they say, he has come back. He's raised again. I won't believe it unless I touch the prints of his hand, the nail prints in his hand, and I put my hand in his side. I won't believe this story. The disciples struggled with belief even though they walked right with him. Mary and Martha, great friends, close-knit. They couldn't believe. And the chief of all struggling believers, they end this story with Jesus and Lazarus like this. When Jesus healed Lazarus or raised him from the dead, the scripture said that many people believed because of the power of that moment. And so Jesus, as he's walking and talking and doing what he would continue to do, the Pharisees got so frustrated they wanted to kill him. And this is so funny to me. When they saw Lazarus, and you got to see Lazarus was raised from the dead as well, and people are believing, now they're saying people are believing not just because of Jesus, now they're walking around with Lazarus and they believe because of Lazarus. And the Pharisees start planning in their heads that now we got to kill Jesus. And we got to kill Lazarus. Now make sense of this. As I'm talking to you and we're talking to one another about faith and really believing today, the difference isn't really, it's not really just believing. The difference is, do you get how deep it runs? And here's where the Pharisees had the problem. The Pharisees, they look at Jesus and they say, oh, we want to kill you and now we want to kill Lazarus. And the irony of that situation, I had a friend say one day in a lesson he was preaching, he said, how crazy would that be that they would kill Lazarus, then Jesus would heal Lazarus, and they could kill Lazarus and Jesus would heal. It doesn't make sense. They didn't get it. And that's what I'm asking you today. When you look at one another, my brothers and my sisters, the family here at Sunshine, do you believe Jesus has to be here to be who he is? Do you believe, like Mary and Martha, do you believe, yes, that he's powerful? Or do you have a belief that goes deep, deep down? Do you have a faith that goes deep down? Like a centurion who would say, you don't have to show up. I'm not worthy of you. All you have to do is come. All you have to do is speak. Just speak the word, and my servant will be well. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6, 1 Hebrews 11:1. Listen to what he's saying here. The point he's trying to make to Mary and Martha, the reason he held back was the very point he made that the centurion helped him make to us. Jesus loves you. Jesus came to die for you. He came to give you hope and a future. He came to bring you peace with God. Wherever you are, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, however it's affecting you. I know sometimes it feels like there's no hope. Sometimes you wonder how we're going to get that next breath, the next step, pay the next bill. Is she going to love me tomorrow? Are they going to care about me when it all falls apart? I know that there's struggles that are deep, and they run deep. The story is nothing if you don't make application and realize that Jesus Christ can speak where he is and work in your life today. If you don't realize that God, through his Spirit, is working for you and would heal and work and bless your life today. So where are you? What's your struggle? What's the deal? What could God break through with you, break through and heal or bless or free you from today? I don't know what it is, but I know we struggle with it. I know we struggle with it deeply. And Jesus is saying, I don't have to show up in person. If you would believe, I could do it. If you believe, I can do it. And it's deeper than that. It's not just your problem. It's not just your struggle. It's not just what you're going through. Jesus is trying to make a point to us that I am over everything. Take a breath. Be free in me. If you're not a child today, I want you to come. We're going to have an elder on each side of this auditorium, and they want to hear from you. They're going to offer prayer for you. If you have not given your life to Jesus, they'll offer to immerse you into Jesus, that your sins could be forgiven and you could be his child. If you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with heartache or something that they could just counsel you with, they'll be right there waiting for you. But here's the call. Jesus definitely brought Lazarus back to life. He showed up and he brought him back to life. But there was a man who believed if Jesus just said the words, he never had to show up because he is over everything. Believe it. It's real. Whatever your desire, why don't you come as we